Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good. Excited about today's show.
Me too. So tell us a bit about what we're talking about today.
So in cast your minds back to 1989, where half of you didn't exist, but MTV used to be a channel that played music videos.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And then they got this genius idea in 1989 that no one had ever thought of before, which was playing acoustic instruments. But I guess, you know, music had started to get, you know, super electronic super produced, and big bands and big stages. And so they started the series called MTV Unplugged, where a band would perform. Now, it wasn't really unplugged because they had microphones and speakers. So usually at least acoustic guitar or piano.
Yeah.
They might still have electric bass. And then you get some of them that, okay, it's acoustic because you have a 200-voice choir and an orchestra, and you still get this produced sound. But anyway, people will still call it acoustic, even though officially it's not. But the sort of stripped back sounds, watching the artist do like an alternative version of the song you liked or a cover, it took off. And I mean, like Eric Clapton did one in 92 and just sold a zillion albums. So then everyone wanted to do one. Rod Stewart did one. Tony Bennett did one. Mariah Carey had only recorded a couple albums and people thought maybe she was just a studio, you know, singer, right?
Yeah.
So when she came out and did hers in 92, she sang I'll Be There live. And that's why the version of that song that everyone likes her singing is from the live
album. That's so interesting.
So it becomes an album. So it's this event on television becomes an album. And so Unplugged just became this big, like, social phenomenon.
That's so crazy. I mean, MTV has had so much impact on the music industry and on the way people listen to music and watch music videos and stuff.
Yeah. And so now releasing a semi-acoustic album that you record, you know, you do a big concert. I mean, now look at the Tiny Desk concerts.
Yeah, it's quite a popular thing.
Yeah, now those then turned into albums that were then mega million-dollar sellers and Grammys. You know, that would be the equivalent.
I'm going to hit this Lauryn Hill one we've got here.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So you can hear the, you know.
I mean, people love that about live music.
That's right. You feel more like you're there.
That everything is all right.
Now, this story of this album has a weird backstory. Don't I hate to talk over her, but
sorry, Lauryn,
to it. Yeah. So, in 1999, she had her big mega album. She'd come out of the Fugees and recorded Miseducation, and it was a huge hit. And so everyone was waiting. And so then the next album she released after this, 2002. Was this weird stripped back double album with her breathing, complaining, crying, her voice was trashed, someone said shredded throat and fragility. She had just learned to play the guitar. So she knew three chords.
I mean, she sounds great.
So at the time, people were like, what? But then now people are saying, wow, what an album. Like, I think people had expected sort of creative, genius, highly produced of the 1989 album.
Yeah. So foul you can taste it. But I think maybe also it tells us a little bit about how when somebody's become like a legend or like an icon, things that they've done that maybe at the time weren't really well received, people go back and they listen to with a different, you know, a different attitude.
It also tells us that when you become a legend and an icon, maybe a couple of years later, you're a little wiped out by it.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
That she just was in this weird zone. But yeah, you're right. I mean, she's just great. And so it's ahead of her time.
Yeah. And while the people
sleep. But yeah, it's got like spoken word and talking. And it was just so weird at that time. Okay, well, I'm on the MTV one.
We're getting the Nirvana Unplugged is the best.
Oh, yeah. So that's the iconic one with him on a stool with a cardigan.
It's the image you think of when you think of Kurt Cobain. Yeah.
And so it was really good for the band. I read one review that said, you know, that they'd been like such a noisy band.
Yeah.
And then to do this was actually really new for the fans.
And such a moment for like that whole genre and era of music to to be like, we can be noisy and bratty and like cynical, and we can also get in our feelings as well.
Yeah, and he did a lot of covers that night. Like, it was, and there's some other really hilarious ones. Apparently the Oasis one, I get the brothers mixed up, Liam couldn't sing. And so he was just sitting in the audience, and Noel then sang all the songs, which normally he does it. And then Liam was all pissed and, I'm sorry, drunk, like literally drunk in the audience, heckling them. Like, apparently it's the most bizarre, one of a bizarre music history
sounds
story.
Sounds about right, to be honest.
And Kiss, 1995, when they did theirs, had been broken up, and they only performed at like fan conventions and hotels.
Ooh.
And so they brought the band back together, and they did one of these. And it was so well received that now they're still together and
Tours. Kiss doing an acoustic album is a...
I was afraid. I don't think I even listened to that one.
Choose well, choose well, choose well, choose well, choose well, choose well.
Oh, with the Nirvana, one of the reviews said it's a hypnotically intimate rock concert.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good way.
And while the people sleep.
I love Lauren, but we're going to move on to the next one, which is not an MTV one.
No, so I found some other ones that weren't MTV, but the MTV launched this juggernaut.
Also, to people who are like, yeah, stop talking over the song.
Yeah, sorry.
It's the way the segment goes, but you can go and listen to the full, beautiful Lauryn Hill whole MTV Unplugged album later, and I recommend you do that.
So this is Chris Cornell. To the Black Hole Sun a couple of weeks before he took his life. And so then listening to his voice, and I went down this dark rabbit hole about his life, and I was getting really depressed and triggered.
Boiling heat, summer stench, neath the black, the sky looks there. Call my name through the cream, and I'll hear you scream again.
It really does give you, I think, you forget how amazing Chris Cornell's voice is sometimes because it's so usually padded out by the rest of the band.
And like Nirvana, that sort of loud rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on the Wikipedia page, he's like considered one of the best rock voices in all these different, things. Oh, and this one, and he's number two, and this one, he's number one. But yeah, you're right, you forget about just his voice.
And I think that's maybe part of the whole secret to why people enjoy seeing huge pop stars who maybe they're used to the massive production and the massive performance of it, which is amazing and fantastic in its own right. But when you strip it back, I think people feel like they have that really human connection with their, you know, idols or their music heroes.
You can really hear his sort of weird down-tuned chords and melodies.
No one sings like you anymore.
I love that you can hear the audience as well. That's always really nice thing. Yeah.
And one review said it was haunted existentialist poetry.
Where was this one recorded?
So it's called CBS Saturday Sessions.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, now a television station's having one. And it was in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Just a couple weeks before he passed. Which, yeah, makes it even more somber.
Won't you come? Won't you come? Black hole of sun, black hole of sun. Won't you come? Black hole of sun, black hole of sun.
So he's doing the best, that sort of like echo vocals as well as the swapping in between.
Someone else has said Alice in Chains was legit. One of their favorite.
That one's one of the iconic ones too.
This is like, I think it is one of those things that obviously acoustic versions of songs have existed since the dawn of instruments, but I mean that really, that 90s phenomenon, it hasn't really gone away. We still love to hear that, we still love to see it.
They still bring it back. MTV will bring it back, or you know, like other sort of arena like CBS Sessions. But yeah, for a lot of bands it re-kickstarted their career, brought them back to life, and so it's just a thing people do, I guess, now as part of their career trajectory.
This one's a little bit different as well. What is this?
This is from the 2017 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where Tupac was being inducted, which is a big thing because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has had a race problem. You know, what's rock and roll, what's music?
Yeah.
And so this is Alicia Keys singing Tupac, which you wouldn't think. How can you cover Tupac with a piano and a female R&B singer?
This one of
favorites.
Whoa. She's such an amazing showwoman. So it is kind of like also a way that people have used to, I guess, maybe celebrate other artists. As you're saying, people often use it as an opportunity to do covers or to explore like, other people's work.
Absolutely. Nirvana definitely did that. And Alicia did have a proper Unplugged album in 2005. Mm. And on that album, she had like Mos Def and Common. So in the live one, you know, when that person comes out, the audience is like, oh my God, I get more stars.
I've just got to say the text machine has turned into a battle of people who think the Nirvana MTV Unplugged was the best and the people who think that the Alice in Chains MTV Unplugged was the best.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very important question.
I was younger and my mama had me, 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Now back in the time I never thought I'd see a face, but ain't a woman alive that ever take my mama's place. So I'm saying, lady, don't you know we love you, sweet lady. Place no one above your sweet lady.
So it's something like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. There's something pretty cool about the fact that everybody in the audience is a bit of a legend in their own right.
Yeah, that's true.
And Alicia
true.
Keys is playing Tupac. That's true. And it's a big old lovin'. Everybody's just happy to be there over
that
day.
And it's that time when they do acknowledge each other as musicians, you know? You got to be able to play it and play it live with not too much help.
Yeah. And everyone's going to have an opinion on it as well. You know? You don't want to get that wrong.
Well, yeah, and so it's interesting, you know, with the people debating, you know, do they prefer the live version over the recorded version sometimes happens.
We were talking about this earlier on in the show, actually, about people having really strong reactions to covers of songs and either loving or hating it. And it's just a different version of a different song, you know?
But sometimes the artist doing a different version, right? It's like their own. It's one thing when, you know, you or I will cover a song, but like...
just karaoke, yeah.
But, you know, so it's an artist revisiting their own.
So this is Alicia Keys performing the wonderful Tupac Shakur medley at 2017 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What else did we listen to this morning, Kirsten?
Oh, we had Chris Cornell's really depressing Black Hole Sun.
But for some beautiful. Reason,
that's
absolutely
touching
beautiful.
Me a lot, that one. And then we had Lauryn Hill, I Find It Hard to Say.
It's a pretty interesting phenomenon, and it really definitely has still, continues to affect, I guess, the way we listen to music at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's good for artists to see that as an element to, you know, add to their, you know, bag of tricks. And, I'm sorry I didn't play Alice in Chains of Nirvana. I wasn't sure if BFM would be like, oh, too normie.
No.
Oh, we don't play that.
Oh, someone said The Cure Unplugged was fun. I'm going to go listen to that one.
Yeah, I saw
that
good one. I haven't heard it.
Hey,
thank
you very much for that, Kirsten. I very much enjoyed going unplugged this morning. We'll talk to you next week. What are we going to be diving into then?
Afrobeats with Afrobeats. An S, which is apparently different than Afrobeat without an S.
Okay, interesting. We will see you then.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.